Thank you for joining our podcast. This next message you'll be hearing is from our women's ministry, She Conquers. This ministry was birthed as a single mom's ministry and now into a ministry that includes women of all walks of life.
The little folly, a little foolish thing. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about a bad decision, a mistake. Like in the beginning this year, we made all kinds of good decisions, and half of them we never followed through. We didn't even see because of circumstances unto our control came about. Like that fly, when he flies in on Thanksgiving Day and starts trying to land on your food, had nothing to do with you, but it gets in the way. Just like that dead fly will stink up a smelly perfume, the decisions that you'll make that are foolish, dumb, whatever, will take your honor. Tonight, at the end of this year, I want to challenge you. Don't make a bad decision and lose this beautiful aroma of the Lord, his presence pressing into you, filling you with his presence, telling you, I want to know you. Come and know me. All of us have felt that one time or another. Sometimes it's not in church. It's in your car when you're driving. You ever get this presence that comes in and you kind of feel overwhelmed and like, oh my gosh, and you just want to like take the moment and thank God? Like, God, thank you for everything you've ever done for me. That's his presence drawing close to you. We can be having a bad day and blame God for those bad days, but it's not his fault. We just have to reconsider our actions and see, did any of this have to do with my foolishness? Did I have some kind of folly or decision that I made to mess up my own life? But never blame God. Now, in our house, when we're all trying to kill that fly, it's a free-for-all. Let me tell you, we don't care what we're hitting. It can be on that turkey, and we'll like, bam, and kill it and just scrape that piece of turkey off. Who would do it? Or would you just swish it? And then try to kill it. I don't know. To each his own. I don't know. That's how much we hate flies. We don't think right. We just start slamming everything. And there's been a few times where it's been on my shoulders and somebody came with a fly, so I won't say any name. Don't move, don't move. Oh, heck no. So I'm just saying, if a fly can do that, why can't we be that way with the thoughts in our heads? No way should you be putting up with. Nobody cares for you. Just kill yourself. Today, I made myself listen to a testimony of a guy who jumped over a bridge in San Francisco, and he survived it. He survived it. I'm sorry. Are we okay? Okay. And he survived it. And I don't like suicide stories. They're very painful. It's a memory that I went through when I was a teenager, and that's how I got saved. I one day woke up and said, I'm going to kill myself, went straight to the train track. I was standing by the train track. The train was going to come around 2 o'clock, and I couldn't wait because I was ready. And talk about psycho. I had no feelings. I was just like, forget this. And I didn't believe in God because God was a man, and I hate it. I hated my life because of men at that time. And my friend, my best friend at the time, was taking a nap at her house, and she was born again. She got up, and she said she fell out of the bed, and she heard in her head, go tell Viola about me. And she ran to my house. I wasn't there. My mom said, I don't know. She probably went to the park. She ran to the park, and she saw me on the hill right there, and she saw the train. It was coming. She knew exactly what I was going to do, ran over there, up the hill, grabbed me, brought me down, and I fought her, and she sat me at that park table and told me about God. It was the most beautiful story I ever heard. So when I have to listen to suicide, that's an ugly feeling and an ugly thought. So when I never go there, I never talk about that because it is real. And so if you're going through that, I want to tell you tonight, that's a fly, and you need to kill it. And it's also foolish. And it's going to stink up the whole world around you if you take your life. Because you're something beautiful and wonderful and you have a lot to offer, or else you wouldn't be born. How's that for a different kind of thinking? You wouldn't be here if it wasn't worth living for. So I don't know why I shared that, but that wasn't in this message. And you need to live. No more lies. The battles that go through our mind day in and day out, because here we are in November, maybe things didn't turn out like you thought, but God knew the way your life was going to end. He knows the very end. So for that reason, wouldn't it be good to stick close to the Lord? Like, Lord, you know the end. I don't know what my end is. You do. And you won't tell me, because I probably wouldn't be able to handle it, and that's okay. And you'll give me just as much that I can handle. 1 Peter 5:8. I'm going to pick this up. It says, 1 Peter 5:8 through 11. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce on you and would like nothing better to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with all the Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith that you have. The suffering won't last forever. Your suffering's going to pass. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans, they are. He will, and you will put together on your feet. He'll pick you up and make things good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. That's what that scripture says, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11. That's the message version. It's a challenge for sure. It's a challenge to believe that the Lord was going to turn this mess around. But we can win against the enemy. He just said that. Keep your guard up. Be watchful. Be diligent. Man, don't let those flies land on that turkey. Don't let those flies land on your head or in your heart. Don't let it. We wrestle daily to keep our minds right, so you're not crazy. If anybody here thinks you're crazy, you're losing your mind, you get some crazy thoughts, blame it on the devil, for sure. Blame it on the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this world. Now, you tell me, if you're watching a spooky movie, and you choose to, if you like them, I know people who like them, and sit there, and you're like, that's your fault. Right? But you like scary movies, so prepare yourself. You're going to be afraid, and you're going to be shaking like this when you go to bed, and you don't want to turn the lights on. Okay? So that's what I mean by, you know, that's your choice. So if you're into it, okay. I'm not. My husband likes sci-fi, like aliens and all that stuff. I'll watch a few of them every now and then, but every time I watch them, I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I have to tell myself, no, it's makeup. But I go down like that. So I won't watch it. I'm not kidding you. He said, Bala, I'll do a chick flick movie with you. Yeah, he did. It was so girly. And I was sitting there going, oh my God, don't you love it? And he's like this. But he sat through the whole thing. Then he's like, okay, so now I'm going to watch mine. Blade, switch, you know, blood, all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Total, but that's a guy thing. Doesn't mean he's this horrible, evil person. It's just he likes those sci-fi movies. So, we do not fight with flesh and blood. We fight with real evil. That's just make-believe movie makeup. But in real life, doesn't it feel like life's like that? Haven't you been abused and abandoned and hurt enough to know that, man, there's something evil in this world? So how do you combat that? How do you combat that? Oh, you become like them, or you take it in and go, oh, heck no, nobody's going to touch me. So you lock the world out and you don't trust people. There's some good trusting people. There really is. There's some that are bad, but for the most part of it, if you're living for the Lord, he's going to put you with good people. He's going to put you with good people, and then you have to choose whether you want to like them or not. You have to choose whether you're going to trust them or not. But you're so smart because you've been through enough stuff, so you should know if that person's real or not. Isn't that something? But the Lord, you can trust 100%. And you know, people who live for the Lord, they can be trusted too. And but sometimes they hurt you. They hurt you. I always tell everybody that comes to this church, at least the women, I'm so human. And if I hurt you, I want to apologize already. But give me a chance to prove that wrong. If you in your mind think, I want to hurt you. Do you get that? So, a little folly. You don't want that going on in your life. You want to take care of it. Don't let it stink up the beauty that is in you or that what God is doing in you. The Lord has the final word. He never says things like the devil. He never says, yeah, nobody loves you. Yeah, don't go to that church. They're fake. Can you imagine? Even if there was fake people at church, he wouldn't tell you that. The Lord wouldn't tell you they're fake. It's just their human nature. A lot of us didn't have dads. How many didn't have a dad? You had a dad, yes, but, you know, they weren't involved in your life. They didn't hold you at night when you wanted him, when you wish you had a dad. I'll be the one. I had a dad. He was fun when he was around. He always told me he loved me when he was around, but he was never around, so it was rare. So I remember having the conversation with my dad. Why weren't you around? Why? What happened? And him telling me the story about him and my mom, blah, 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 blah. And I said, yeah, but what about us? What about me and Gina? Why didn't you love us? And then he'd cry and he'd say, I'm sorry, I'm just a bad dad. So it never got really resolved. But when I got saved and sat with my dad in a conversation where I wanted to tell him about the love of God, and I said, Dad, I forgive you. I forgive you. And God forgives you. And he cried. I remember my dad crying. And he says, those are the most beautiful words I've ever heard. And I said, they're true though, Dad. And he said, I hope, Viola, that you live it out. I really do, because I haven't seen somebody really live it out. Here it is. I'm 52 years old. And the last time I saw him, I prayed with him. And he laughed at me. He said, I can't believe it. After all these years, you still believe in God. Since that day you were 14 years old and you told me. And I said, I can't backslide. I can't turn. There's nothing else in the world. Now I'm going to tell you this in light of that. Now, God told, Jesus asked his disciple when everybody left him. So now everybody's gone. His big 2,000, 3,000 church people left. And he tells his disciples, who do they say that I am? And they tell him, oh, they said, you're this, you're Beelzebub, the god of flies. Can you imagine that? I just talked about yucky, stinky flies, and they're telling Jesus, oh, that you're the god of flies. So he's listening, and then the disciples are telling him other stuff that they say, and then he says, who do you say that I am? That I love, because that held me for years. Jesus tells me all the time, who do you say that I am, Viola? Because, trust me, enough heartache, enough pain, or enough setbacks, or enough mistakes, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. Oh, man, I don't know life. I don't know life like I thought I had. I don't do life good without Jesus. So when Jesus says, who do you say that I am, Viola? Man, I say a lot. There's so many good things I could say about him. And I can't stop once I start rolling. He's so good. He's so forgiving. He's so amazing. If I could tell you all the things that I really want to tell you how good he is, you would think I'm lying. You would have to get to know me a while to say, oh, she doesn't lie. She's telling the truth. But if I told you now, you'd go, yeah, right. Because he's so good in all around, all around, all around. Continues. 52. I've been saved. I've been going to church, living for God since I was 14. He never let me down. On and on, and he proves his word. He proves it every time. Even when I don't, even when I doubt, even when I'm like, wait a minute, God, did I make you up? Did I make you up to be so good? Come on, did I? Oh no, no. Every time, nope, I'm good. So let me just tell you the last experience I had. So I was doing a a Debbie Downer one day. So I'll try never to let you know about that. But I am going through this thing like, did I make up God? All these years, I always believed you this way, Lord. But I'm facing something that I've never been through before. And I'm kind of doubting. And I say, who could I call to even tell them that I'm doubting? Because I never doubt. And I finally said, I'm going to call a friend who knew me the day I got saved when I was 14. So she works in the desert. There's no cell phones at work there. They only have landlines. She puts her phone in her purse, puts it in the corner of her office. Never, ever, ever, ever does it ring. And she's at work, and I call her, and she said, the phone rings. And she jumps up and says, my phone's ringing. And she's like, shocked, because she's been working there for 6 months, and her phone is ringing. So she goes over there to the phone, looks at it like, and it says Viola Green. And you know what she told me? When she saw my name, she said, oh, figures. God listens to her. And so she said, she shook her head and went, her faith got her to get this phone to ring. That's what my friend said from 14 years. When I was 14 years old, I say, hi, Viola. And she busts up laughing. And she said, I'm just going to say God is allowing this call to go through. Go ahead, hit me. And I was like, what? And then she tells me, no, go ahead. What do I get this privilege of calling? So, well, I'm really scared to say this because I've never said this, but is God real? The God that I believed in all these years, is he real? And I said, because I think I'm on E, and I've never been in this place in my life. And she laughs, and she says, right now I am jumping up and down because I'm going to tell you something, the God that you serve. And she told me about the phone never ringing. And she said, how is it that I've known you all these years, and you say, is God real? I say, the phone's ringing. It says Viola Green. Oh, it figures. Wow. What a testimony. What a testimony. So I get to stand here and tell you beautiful women, God is who he says he is. He is so real. He's so real. He'll make a phone call come through that you need to get. Okay? That's my friend. She will testify. She stirred my faith. Viola, whatever you're going through, I'm so excited because that means God's going to show him more powerful than you've ever known him. And he is. He really is, because I choose to believe in that supernatural God that still does miracles that he did back then. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that he is? You got to answer it. Who do you say the Lord is? Because he's asking. Jesus asked it then. He's asking it now. He's asking it tonight. Who do you say that I am? Not what Viola says. Who do you say Jesus is? Because he will be that God. He will be that person in your life that will get you through the hard times, get you right into the next year, making new resolutions and hoping that you make the right decisions every time you go forward, every time you live your life. And you will not be that person that jumps off the San Francisco bridge. I've got one more video. I want Christy to show a video, and I'm going to end with this video. I'm going to come right back up. I just want you to enjoy this video because it's talking to you. You could relate. This is a woman's testimony.
Single.
If you can't get it, her voice is fine. Awesome, awesome. Until it comes on, she's Billy Graham's daughter.
One of those prayers and mother, and many more.
Right there.
A singleness. Lord answered every single one of those prayers and mother and many more.
I have learned this week, as never before, that everybody has a Billy Graham story. But I have my own Billy Graham story. Being stubborn, willful, and sinful. I married a man on New Year's Eve. And within 24 hours, I knew I'd made a terrible mistake. After 5 weeks, I fled. I was afraid of him. What was I going to do? And let me tell you, you women will understand you don't want to embarrass your father. You really don't want to embarrass Billy Graham. I rounded the last bend in my father's driveway, and my father was standing there waiting for me. As I got out of the car, he wrapped his arms around me and he said, "Welcome home." There was no shame, there was no blame, there was no condemnation, just unconditional love. And you know, my father was not God, but he showed me what God was like that day.
I know what he would want me to say today.
That's it, Christy. Okay, that was Billy Graham's daughter, and we all know Billy Graham just died. And I purposed in my heart to watch the funeral. And I heard all his children testify of his great love for Jesus. And every one of them, you could turn it off. It's okay. We couldn't see the video. It was a beautiful video. Her telling that story and in front of President Trump, all the great leaders of this world right now, they were there. And the daughter testified of that. And I want to tell you, this is a daughter, and she looks like she's 66 or 70 maybe. She's an older, mature woman. She's been around, you know, like she said. And her father was Billy Graham. So what makes her so better off than you because she had a father, Billy Graham? And I'm crying because so many of us here wish we had a father. And I ask my daughter all the time, how does it feel to have a dad like you? And my daughter always says good things about her father. She doesn't have anything bad to say about him because he was a good father. And some of you wish you had that. But this woman had Billy Graham as her dad. And she still made mistakes. And what does she testify? My dad wasn't God, but he showed me how God is. And tonight, you feel his presence so thick and so profound in your life right now. You are so broken to know that God really is real. And you are getting a hope so deep that you're never going to lose it because you've encountered God. And it's his presence. It's just the aurora that he's here, a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's him pressing into your heart. And that is who he is. He is so forgiving. You can't feel judgment when you're in his presence. Religion judges you. Religion judges you. Not a personal relationship with Jesus. Religion judges you. Oh, man, your hairstyle is so old. Man, you need a new haircut. You're not dressed right. Oh, man, who you think you are? Oh, look at you. You're so old, you can't do nothing for Jesus anymore. Oh, man, you give it up. Just go to the rocking chair. You made so many mistakes. You think God is going to love you? Oh, no, he saw you that day. You're too little. You can't tell people about Jesus. Nobody's going to listen to you. Heck, what's the matter with you? Does God do that? No. So why can't we live for him? We've made enough mistakes. We've made enough. It's okay. This woman who was Billy Graham's daughter, she made a horrible mistake. She said she fled for her life because she made a bad mistake. She said that in front of the whole nation. Who are we to say, oh, God won't forgive me, or I can't live for the Lord? He's worthy to be lived for, trust me. He's worthy for you to pray and go to him and wake up and say, Lord, I believe you for this day. I believe you to have your hands upon my children, to love them. You know, my daughter has made so many mistakes. I love her. I love my kids. She made so many mistakes in life that broke my heart. And I was broken, not ashamed of her, never ashamed of her, just broken because my daughter, I wanted so much for her, you know? And in light of her making those decisions, I come to church every day and see you young people that come to our church. And I love you. I love the way that God loves you. That's what gets me. I want to see God love my daughter. Recently, she called. Recently, we prayed. Recently, we've talked. We settled some things, you know, things that she had gone through right before she got married. And now, when I went to her wedding, do you know she was just as blessed as anybody else in the world who got married? The Lord blessed her. She didn't earn that. He blessed her because she said she was sorry and she was forgiven and she believed God was with her. She made her own peace with God. However the end of her story is, it's in God's hands. But that was my daughter, and I seen her suffer. And I haven't seen a lot of you guys suffer, but I know you have, because I could tell when you talk to me when you're hurting. Do you know God is the answer? I'm going to tell you right now, He is the answer, will always be the answer. He will always be the answer. You could try any way other way, but He will always be the answer. And if you believe what I'm telling you, He can show Himself strong in your behalf. He said, my arm from heaven is not short that it can't come down and save. He says that. My hand's not too short. He's not. He will move for you. He will change your circumstance. He will help you heal from your brokenness. He will. And He will surround you by people who love you, because that's who He is, to show you that He is love. And I just want everybody to bow their heads. I just want you to bow your heads right now. Father, I thank you for every woman here. I thank you for their being, who they are, their presence, the way that they are, the way that they smile, the way that they sit, the way that they hope, the way that they fold their hands, the way that they think in their mind, Lord. I thank you that they're an individual and they're here and they're so open to your presence. I thank you, Father, that it's not anyone else that can do anything but you. You are the only one that can change situations and can cause miracles. You are the only one that can heal cancer. You are the only one that can mend that broken heart, that they can love again, Father. I am so grateful that no man can do that but you. You are the only answer. You will always be the answer, Lord. This is just an altar call we call to give a call for you to meet the most beautiful God in the universe, because there's a lot of things out there that say they're God, and they say they are the answer and the way, but Jesus said He is the truth, the way, and the life, and no man can come to the Lord but through Him, and He's worthy of that. He is worthy of that. He is worthy of that. He's worthy of that statement. He has proven it. He has proven it. Hallelujah. He has proven it. He has proven Himself. And He asks, who do you say that I am? You say it. You say it in your heart, in that beautiful place of your private heart that is yours alone, that beats for you. You say it. Lord, I know who you are. You are real. You are so tangible. You are real. And you died for me. And I love, and I'm grateful that I could feel you right here in my life, in my heart. And my heartbeat is beating because you put that breath in me to live. I wasn't a mistake. You say that. You say that. You acknowledge that so that you can be healed. Acknowledge that so you can be healed. That's a testimony of you. Hallelujah, Father. We love you. We thank you for your holy presence. We thank you for the authority, Father, of who you are, Lord, that you have the authority to move things, to captivate us, and to cause things to be new. Where things are broken, you can fix it. And we choose together in unity right now, Lord, for you to fix those things that we cannot fix, to cause life to come, Lord. We thank you. Anyone here that wants Jesus to come and dwell and live in your heart, raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I want you, Lord. Here's my hand. Here's my hand, Lord. I acknowledge that I want you to come in my heart and live. Hallelujah. I want you, the true Lord, to live in my heart. I was 14 years old, and the pastor of the church said, anybody who wants to come, raise your hand. And I sat on my hand because I was ashamed and I didn't want to go up nowhere. And I had that friend lean over like, you, Viola, you know what you're feeling is nothing like you've ever felt before. And that's the presence of God. I'll go up with you, Viola, but you need to make a declaration and make a stand that you believe in that God who died on that cross for you. And I'm going to do the same for you, because that was part of my salvation, making that stand. I want you to come up here. If you raised your hand, don't be ashamed. You're doing it with me. I want you to come up here because I want to pray with you. I want the privilege. And I don't want to be ashamed. I want to say, yes, Lord. Just come up. Come up. Don't be ashamed. I really can't see the audience, so I don't know who raised their hand. But just come up, and I want to pray with you. Anybody else who raised their hand, just come up and don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Yes. Awesome, ladies. Awesome. And those of you that are sitting in your seat, you are touched by the Lord and he is talking to you. So come on up here. I want you to remain in your seat and just pray and ask God to touch you. But right now, I'm going to get the privilege of praying with these women. Okay, ladies, just repeat after me. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart and forgive me for all my sins. I am not ashamed tonight to ask you to forgive me. And I feel your forgiveness just by asking. You are so awesome. I don't even know half the story that you are, but you will be my story. And I will testify of your great forgiveness. I'm so grateful for this forgiveness. And I forgive every person that hurt me. I forgive them because you are forgiving me. I forgive them. Hallelujah. Do you feel that, ladies? Forgive them right now. It's so crucial for you that you would forgive them. Forgive them. Repeat it. I forgive them. I set them free like you're setting me free. And I receive your love in my life. You are amazing already with the power that you have to cleanse my heart, to take away my sins, and to make me whole. I am perfect. Because you died for me and you call me your own. And I receive this place of honor. Say it, ladies. I receive this place of honor because I am in your presence. You are my Father. And I'm so grateful. In Jesus' name, Right now, Father, right now, I pray that everything that is hidden, that no one knows about, Lord, that you would bring restoration. You would bring healing, Lord, like no other. That you would be so real in their lives, Father, that they will not be the same. That you will so gravitate to them, Lord, that the rest of the year, Lord, will be different than the beginning because you are with them and they accepted you in their heart, Father. I thank you. Right now, Lord, there is no condemnation, none. There is no judgment. There is no judgment, no condemnation, Lord, because you are so awesome and amazing. Hallelujah. I thank you for that forgiveness. Wow, wow. Hallelujah, Father. Right now, every healing that is due, Yesenia, every healing, restored, restored right now, like it was in the beginning, Lord. What you have planned for this woman, Lord, that she would be made whole, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you right now. I thank you for this woman of God, Lord. I thank you for the grace and the challenges that you are bringing before her, Lord. She is captivated by who you are. Lord, I thank you for the strength already, Lord, that you have given her to endure. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the newness, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the wholeness that you are bringing about, bringing a new name, bringing a new person right before her own eyes, Lord, right before her own eyes.
I'm no longer to see it. No. Yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to depression or shyness. Yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to pain. Oh, I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to my past. Oh, yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, 'cause I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer when you would rival me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone.
All right, ladies, just really quick, I want to do something. Specifically, Viola, today, one of the things that she said was in this illustration that she made of a fly, of a nagging fly that has just captured your mind. It has made you feel uneasy. It has robbed life from you this year. I want to do something tonight. I want you to identify the fly, and I believe that what God wants to do tonight is that he wants to break that power, and he doesn't want you to go into 2019 with this nagging fly that keeps taunting you, that keeps harassing you. So I believe that by the Spirit of God in your heart right now, you can identify what that nagging thought or attitude or action has been in your life. and it has taken over every thought of your mind. So what I want to do something right now, I just want you, if that's you, I want you to come up here. Okay, and it's not to put you on the spot or anything. It may just be one person. I don't care who it is, but I know it's somebody right here. And I want you to identify that nagging thought. And right now, by the Spirit of God, we're going to break its power. So right now, I just want you to close your eyes, ladies. And right now, Spirit of God, I believe you're going to draw individuals into this place. So I'm going to wait. Father, we come against this right now in Jesus' name. Father, you will draw your people to this altar. You will draw your women to this altar because there is something that you want to do in this place right now, Father God. I declare right now, Spirit of God, it is you. It is you who is touching these women. It is you who is saying, come, daughter, come right now. Come to my altar. Come to this place that I have prepared for you, specifically for you. Spirit of God, right now, draw your women to this place. It is you, it is you, it is you, it is you. Father, I come against this spirit that nags, that taunts, that ridicules, that brings shame, that brings confusion right now. Father, I break its power in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare healing over minds in this place right now. Oh, we come against you, devil. We call you out right now and we say no more. We take back our minds. We take back our minds, Father, in Jesus' name. The mind of Christ, the mind of Christ right now in this place over every woman, the mind of Christ right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak liberty. Oh God, these chains are broken right now, and it is by your power because you are real. You are real. You are tangible. As we feel you, as we sense you, Father, you go further. You go further into every wrong conclusion that we have made about ourselves, Father. Father, you bring back identity to us, Father. You bring back, Father, and we take dominion over our minds right now, Father. We are free right now. Whatever thought was nagging, taunting right now, it is done. It is finished, Father God. I pray and I thank you. I thank you, Father God, that it is this simple. It is simply women crying out to you, putting their minds onto you and saying, I see you, God. I hear you. I will no longer be bound. I accept the invitation, Father. I accept your word over my life. So I shall declare it. I will declare your word. I will declare your truth. I will declare your promises because they are yours. They are from heaven. It is what you have spoken, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for what you are doing in this place. It's women coming before you, Father God, and getting a hold of you personally, Father God. I thank you right now. I thank you for this, Father. I thank you. I thank you for this breakthrough right now, Father God. I thank you for this breakthrough. I thank you that we do not have to walk with this in 2018, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that if this tries to come back, Lord, your spirit will remind us of what you have done in this place, Father God. We thank you, Father. We thank you so much, Lord, for this word, Father God. We thank you that you have exposed the enemy, Father God. Lord, and as Christy sings, truly, Lord, we are no longer bound. We are not slaves to this, but we are free. We are free to live in your word. We are free to walk in your promise, Father God. And we thank you. We thank you, Father God, in this place.